Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanz in Washington, working on this program via remote. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan this Wednesday, January 25th, 2023. The Executive Director of Human Rights Watch says she is disappointed by the lack of commitment from South Sudanese leaders to address abuses in the country.
But basically, most of the senior government officials we spoke to were throwing up their hands to some extent in frustration, but also they were asking for patience.
And the mayor of South Sudan's capital, Juba, says the use of narcotic drugs is a huge problem across some parts of the country.
Truly, every week we sometimes bury 13 people or 17 people or 8 dead bodies.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Human Rights Watch's executive director for the Africa Division just wrapped a visit to South Sudan, where she met government officials to discuss the worsening humanitarian situation in the country. Mwasi Shegun says she was disappointed by the lack of commitment from South Sudanese officials to address widespread abuses in the country. She says repressive laws have shrunk civic space in South Sudan, forcing journalists, human rights activists, and defenders to self-censorship.
But basically, most of the senior government officials we spoke to were throwing up their hands, to some extent in frustration, but also they were asking for patience. Patients from organizations like ours, but largely from the international community, and I guess from South Sudanese people, in the sense that a lot of the landmarks and benchmarks that they ought to have met as part of the transition towards the reform of the security sector is yet to be in place. The one area that was of great concern to us, and we were pleased to see that almost across board, there was a meeting of minds around just the excesses of the National Security Service. We did hear a lot of conversation with senior government officials about the efforts that are underway to curtail the excesses of the service, including by reviewing the acts that enables it to function. They mentioned two naughty areas that they are yet to reach an agreement on.
Let's talk about another landmark event that was supposed to take place based on the revitalized peace agreement. There was supposed to be an hybrid court formed in South Sudan to try those who have been suspected of committing violence during the 2013, fighting in the country. Did the government speak to you about when and how this hybrid court is progressing?
It's surprised to hear senior government officials continue to maintain that the book is on the table of the African Union Commission. And what one very senior government official said to us was that the revitalized agreement talks about the African Union Commission setting out guidelines for the operationalization of the court, and that those guidelines are yet to be transmitted to South Sudan. And so that all of their efforts are stalled until they have those guidelines, because they don't know how to go about it. And so, what that tells us, and what some of them did say to us, was that they are not opposed to the existence of the hybrid court. They see the need for accountability, for justice, at across board, including for low-level officials, those with command and control, and all of that. But so they have an escape hatch right now, that the EU, the African Union, hasn't done its part. Although when we do speak with the African Union, they insist that the bloc is back with the South Sudanese government.
Is there any political will, so to speak, from the leaders who spoke to you to ensure that perpetrators of abuses are held accountable? We hear a lot of promises, just like what you heard, but its implementation is the $1 million question. What were some of your takeaways?
The commitment is not real. It is not backed by genuine steps. As a matter of fact, we heard a lot of excuses why there has been no justice mechanism, including with domestic courts. A senior government official actually said to us, we don't even trust our judges. They are not independent. They are not equipped. They are not resourced. And so we can't even trust them to carry out even low-level adjudication on low-level crimes, much less these war crimes that we're talking about. And so for me, I took away the sense that they believe that they should say the right things, because they know that, you know, almost everyone, including the South Sudanese people, care about justice and accountability. But it is not a priority for those in the transitional government. And that really is disappointing. Because honestly, our experience is that with the absence of justice and, you know, the impunity that perpetrators continue to enjoy, it would only embolden more would-be perpetrators to carry out more abuses, including in the ongoing violence that I mentioned earlier across the country.
That's Moasi Segun, the Executive Director for Africa Division at the Human Rights Watch. She spoke with me via Skype from Accra on Tuesday. In the second part of this interview, Segun talks about the shrinking civic space in South Sudan. The mayor of Juba City says they have buried at least 13 people, mostly young men and women, who died from drug abuse. The South Sudan National Police Service and Juba City Council officials say they are concerned about what they say is an increase in the use and sale of narcotic drugs in the capital and other parts of the country. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
Juba City Mayor Michael Lado Alajabu says, aside from other narcotics, his office and police have discovered the distribution of a new illegal substance called the ice. He says ICE is being used primarily by gangs and criminals. The mayor says users often engage in theft like snatching people's phones, handbags, and other valuables in public places.
We as the authority of the city council, with relation and cooperation with the National Ministry of Interior, we have decided already in order to work together to support the city authorities to ensure that these illicit behaviors are eradicated, so that we are able to ensure that our youth, our people are at least safe from such particular practices.
ICE, known as crystal methamphetamine, is a drug that stimulates the brain and nervous system and is highly addictive. Dependence on ICE means that one needs the drug to help him or her go about everyday activities. The mayor says the other drugs consumed in Juba include an alcohol by the name of Jennifer, a liquid with high alcoholic content, usually sold in small equivalent 100 milliliter bottles. The alcohol is manufactured in Juba County and sells for about 200 South Sudanese pounds, or about 30 cents per bottle. So far this year, Alajabu says, Juba City Council officials have confiscated 1,700 cartons of Jennifer in the capital. Last year, he says, authorities confiscated 3,270 cartons. Alajabu says several young people die each week in Juba after consuming illegal substances.
Truly, every week we sometimes bury 13 people or 17 people or 8 dead bodies. We bury each body at a cost of 80,000 South Sudanese pounds because some of these people are just loitering in the capital here without their relatives. This is one of the responsibilities we are taking.
National Police Service spokesperson Major General Daniel Justin says another narcotic authorities are concerned about is KET, commonly known by its local name as Mairungi, which is imported into the country. General Justin says KET is being sold in the Atlabara, Kobrihabuba, and Gumbo Serikata residential areas of Juba, but police are on to the suppliers.
The moment they know there is an operation, they hide and they return to their places after operation. But now with our several meetings, we have mapped out the places and we have devised means on how to deal with them. These criminals, they are very intelligent. They sometimes follow the operations we do. But we are also working to be ahead of them by all means.
Today's media briefing was held at the Interior Ministry building minutes after a closed-door meeting was chaired by Minister of Interior Mahamud Solomon Aguk. General Justin says the meeting was aimed at enhancing further measures to curb the sale and use of narcotics in Juba and around the country. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
Some Catholics in Jonglei State Capital Bor say they are excited about the planned visit of Pope Francis to South Sudan on February 4th. A Catholic priest at the St. Paul's Bor Parish of the Diocese of Malakal says he is organizing transport for dozens of Catholic faithfuls to travel to Juba on a pilgrimage to see and listen to Pope Francis. Dengai Deng has more for VOA from Bor.
Some Catholic faithful in Bor say they believe the pontiff's visit will be a blessing to the country, and the hope his visit will convince political leaders to close the country's chapter of chaos and promote to lasting peace. Father Cletus Antindana of St. Paul's Parish says he too is hopeful the papal visit will unite South Sudanese and bring peace, and is looking forward to the trip to Juba.
I, as the parish priest in this particular parish, we are organizing our people so that we can go as many as we can. So far we've got not less than 25 people who have declared their intentions to go. We are hoping that by the time the event arrives, we would have been more than 40.
Father Antindana says the Pope's visit is a monumental event to South Sudanese who have been tormented by war for many years.
In South Sudan, the history of the country is not so good with regards to the civil wars that are going on. It's unfortunate. So the Pope, we are expecting that when he comes, he will give us courage. He will give courage to the people of South Sudan. He will encourage them to take on the mantle of hope, to bear the mantle of hope, to be able to go through all these difficulties and come out victorious. We are also expecting that when he comes, he might speak with the civil authorities, speak with the government authorities, so that maybe a lasting solution could be found to these conflicts that are tearing the country apart.
Bor Catholic Abraham Chol says the country's ongoing deadly intercommunal fighting is a result of difficulties in implementing the 2018 peace agreement.
The Pope visit is greater for South Sudan, who have been in conflict for some years. Now it's a man of peace, bringing peace of Christ, a hope that South Sudan may regain its power at this time. As a big man, the Holy See, the head of the Catholic Church visit. So this is very important. It's a big occasion and opportunity for South Sudan, at least to focus on peace, particularly the suffering, the conflict of the people, which is not ending.
Chol says those who cannot come to Juba in person should use available media to be part of the event.
The preparation of heart, they have to come and listen, open the radios and wherever they are, at least for reconciliation. The hatred, the mentality of tribalism is not there. We are one. We are one, as God is one with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity. So we are one. that people should prepare themselves, reconcile, love themselves.
Many faithful here say the papal visit should encourage political leaders to trust amongst themselves and commit to the implementation of the revitalized peace deal. They say Pope Francis has shown enormous love for the people of South Sudan, as exemplified by his decision in 2019 to kiss the feet of South Sudan President Salva Kiir and Vice President Riek Machar during their retreat at the Vatican. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaideng in Bor.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Coming up, a South Sudanese minister has opened a case against 40 people suspected of poaching. Find out more after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
can you share an inspirational quote and where you heard it from?
Heavy rains are a reminder of challenges in life. Never ask for a lighter rain. Just pray for better umbrella. I just came across it while I was reading something on social media.
This quote I just added from church. The father was like, "For those who seek, always find. And so fight endlessly for what you want for the future."
Friends are like buttons on the lift. They either bring you down or take you up. I heard it while I was in secondary school and it stuck since then.
وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever fears Allah will have solution to whatever problems. It is from the Holy Quran.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. South Sudan's Ministry of Wildlife Conservation and Tourism have opened a case against dozens of people arrested on Monday for suspected poaching activities in Bandingilo National Park. Rizik Zakaria Hassan, Minister for Wildlife Conservation and Tourism, told South Sudan in Focus in an exclusive interview that investigations into the case have started. Wake Simon Wudu has more for VOA from Juba.
Wildlife Conservation and Tourism Minister Rizik Zakaria says the suspected poachers and their accomplices are being questioned at the Gombo Serikat police station and will be tried in a special court. The minister denies that the Lafon County Commissioner is among the detained, as reported earlier on some media platforms.
The commissioner, according to his version, which he has reported that he actually has been called, summoned to Juba, him and chief and plus other guys. And they don't have that transportation means. That's why they preferred, opted for using that public. According to them, they call it public transport. When our forces apprehended that vehicle, then he was being trapped in. Then they are the one who sorted out that the commissioner is not guilty.
Zakaria says 4 vehicles were seized along with 70 sacks of dried bush meats during the arrest. He says the 50 suspects were arrested in 2 groups. 39 people were arrested in Eastern Equatoria State and 11 others were also arrested in Central Equatoria State.
South Sudan is one of the countries which are gifted and endowed with abundances of wildlife species. What matters now is the conservation and protection and cooperation from the public, and let them understand that those are national resources and they need to be managed and protected by every and each individual. Because to me, I think in the short run, wildlife will be the outlet for our economic crisis and bottlenecks.
Zakaria wanted the public to stay away from poaching, saying such criminals will pay a heavy price.
Our message is everyone should take care. He or she should not allow himself or herself to be used, even including their vehicles, because our officers of wildlife are working.
Lieutenant General Khamis Adieng, Director General of Wildlife Services at the Wildlife Conservation and Tourism Ministry, condemned all forms of poaching which has continued in Badinglo National Park, saying the practice threatens white cob, antelope, and many other wild animals. He says it's unfortunate that some members of the organized forces are participating in poaching. On Monday, dozens of suspects were paraded in front of cameras and reporters, along with several sacks of dried meat at the Ministry of Wildlife, Conservation and Tourism.
The suspects here are you seeing behind me here, even some of them are from the organized forces. Some of them are from SSPDF. And we have been crying a lot and crying a lot. And we met with the chief commander of the SPDF. And then he promised, and he wrote letters to all garrisons of army. But it seems no ear is ready to listen to what the leadership is talking about.
Adieng says the operation to arrest poachers during the dry season will continue across several parts of the country.
As you can see from the arrest and from the report, is a huge quantity of meat. But if you try to convert it to animals, it is more than 100 heads of different species of animal, which is considered to be a very, very big destruction to the South Sudan resources. This thing is unacceptable, and we are going to go ahead with all the legal procedures.
Poaching is rampant in many areas of South Sudan, according to Minister Zakaria. He says the first arrest of the 11 suspects, they were discovered with possession of 3,000 kilograms of bush meat. Zakaria says the suspects were arrested between Mangala and Badinglo National Park while transporting the meat in Toyota Land Cruiser vehicles. He estimates the meat came from at least 110 wild animals. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
From Juba, we move to Malawi, where the government has appealed for more than 70 million additional doses of cholera vaccine from the World Health Organization as the country struggles to control a record outbreak of the bacterial illness. The World Health Organization donated almost 3 million doses of the vaccine to Malawi in November, but those were quickly used up since March of last year. Almost Lamek Masina reports from Blantyre.
The appeal for more cholera doses comes as Malawi continues to register an increase in cases that have now affected all of its 29 districts. The spokesperson for the Health Ministry, Adrian Chikumbe, says talks with the WHO are underway.
We are expecting consignment of 7.6 million doses for 17 districts. It's not for all the districts, but we're going to also consider districts that are being hard hit with the current outbreak.
The Minister of Health said Tuesday that there is no indication Malawi will receive the vaccine anytime soon because many other countries are also pressing the WHO on the same issue. The World Health Organization first supported Malawi with 3.9 million doses of the oral cholera vaccine last May after the outbreak was reported in March. The country received another consignment of 2.9 million doses in November through the WHO and the UN Children's Agency, UNICEF. Maziko Matemba is the Community Health Ambassador in Malawi. He says the vaccine shortage shows a change in attitude toward the shots.
We had a similar situation with COVID, where we had low uptake when we see more people getting sick and more people dying. So I'm hoping the WHO and government of Malawi will take an advantage that now we have high uptake. People are demanding for the vaccine. Some of us have even received calls on where people want to access the vaccine. So I'm hoping this time to utilize the demand.
Cholera is an acute diarrheal disease that can kill within hours if left untreated. Malawi is currently battling its worst cholera outbreak in a decade, largely blamed on poor sanitation and hygiene. The hard-hit districts include Malawi's capital, Lilongwe, and commercial hub, Blantyre. Wangani Mbale is the health promotion officer for the Blantyre District Health Office.
According to our research, which we have done so far, the main culprit to this increase of cholera disease is the use of unsafe water. As you know that Blantyre, the population is growing due to urbanization, so source of water is so scarce, so people are resorting into using unsafe sources of water.
The Malawian government is reconnecting water kiosks in hard-hit areas which were disconnected because of unpaid water bills. As the country awaits another supply of cholera vaccine, health authorities have intensified campaigns on preventive measures like eating boiled foods, washing hands with soap before eating, and using toilets. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Blantyre, Malawi.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
And that's all we prepared for you this Wednesday. Don't forget to check out voaafrica.com for all your favorite programs and news updates. If you missed this broadcast, go to www.voaafrica.com/South Sudan. We now leave you with Kuzo's Clan and the song Binia Juba.
Yeah, still a live record. Binia Juba. Many men.
Anina Maku.
Cool bush, yeah.
Cool bush. Nawadiku majat sukul.
Binia Jipa.
Binia Hilwa. Halatu.
Binia Tai.
Binia Tama.
Hilwa Tai.
Binia Tamama.
Binia Jipa.
Binia Tami. Wakodoro Zehimo.
Binia Jipa.
Binia Tami.
Anabihiba Kabi. Binia Jipa.
Binia
Tami. To finish my life.
Wakodoro Zehimo. Always you don't mind. In my bed you feel dark. Zeh wala na kumsa. And I'm out of your bed. Lay you my lacquer. Real black, real skin. She gives me flavor. I like her. Binia Juba, oh yeah. I like her. It's more like a Sudan. I like her. Heal water, many men. World battle. Mafia, if you bed not. Can index all now. Call 004, yeah. Binia Jami. Wapadaru Zehimo.
Binia Juba.
Binia Jami.
And I believe of your bed.
Wapadaru Zehimo.
Binia Juba,
Binia
Jami, to finish
my
life,
Binia
Juba,
Binia Jami,
Nagumi Binia Binia Juba,
Binia
Binia Mama.
Oya tamana lefo dunya ana mashota binia hilwaze
binia juba
zamana na rita fitupa ana shota bamba kulo hilwa
hilwa
oya rabi ana basad nas hilwa
kodasko
kani tukumsi batat itini Imra wai doria tabile Imra tini masagi simya hilwa
Binia Jami wakodoro zehimo
Binia Juba.
We have been listening to Kuzo's Clan and the song Binia Juba. I'm your host, John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for taking time to be with us. Remember to join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Biafra,
Binia Juba,
Binia Tami,
Hilwa, 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 Binia Juba,
Binia
Yarabi, Binia De, Binia Juba,
Binia
Anabihiba,
Mama,
Binia Juba,
Binia Juba, she don't beep all the time, she has right. To choose who she want in the middle of my fans to chill out with me. Puja mil giafa ze meri matia. Yeah, hilo tai tali jambi na shufak marateni ya bine juba. Yeah, hilo tai tali jambi na shufak marateni ya bine juba. Yeah,
ponyo ponyo massive throw hands up.